Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We're going to be talking about plays and how animals are portrayed in them with my guest, Dan Gilvesan. He has been an actor for over 40 years, is an author of 4 books, and now a playwright with his most recent play, The Secret World of Archie and Mehitabel. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have written a most delightful, enjoyable play with a little music and a little dance as well about many different creatures, some that we don't usually like to think of in a very positive way. Cockroaches, fleas, ants, gnats, ticks, rats, flies. But you've adapted the work of a newspaper columnist from over 100 years ago, Don Marquis, and taken his creations and put them to the theater. Can you explain what this play is really about?
In 1916, many years ago, a columnist for the New York Evening Sun named Don Marquis, he had a column where really gave him free rein to write about almost anything he wanted to write about. He was that famous at that time. No one really remembers him now. And in 1916, he developed a character called Archie the Cockroach. And the conceit was that a human poet had died and his soul was transmigrated or reincarnated as a cockroach. Only he retains his human sensibilities. So this gave Marquis the ability to sort of comment on the human condition as seen through the eyes of a cockroach. Now, you mentioned fleas and ticks and rats and all of that. And yes, that's Archie's world. He lives in the underside, he says. And he associates with fleas and ticks. His best friend is an alley cat named Mehitabel. What Marquis was able to do was give human characteristics to these animals and creatures and insects, and then reflect on the human condition through Archie's interactions with them. And that's basically what happened through the columns. So I took the best of these columns, or what I considered the best, and I've kind of hopefully woven them into a cohesive whole and produced an evening of theater.
And it's a very enjoyable evening of theater. You have a run for a few weeks at the White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks.
Right. We're at the White Fire. October 15th is our closing, although possibly we'll extend it.
He also compiled his columns into 3 books, and they were illustrated by George Harris, the creator of The Crazy Cat. What were those illustrations like? And have you tried to use those illustrations as the way to have your human beings in the play portray other creatures?
Yes, absolutely. Harriman was a genius. For those who don't know, Crazy Cat was a hugely popular comic strip way back in the 20s, 30s, even into the 40s, the last century. There was a compilation of the best of the columns called Archie and Mehitabel, which was published in 1927, and Harriman did the illustrations for them, and he was a wonderful illustrator. The characters that he draws, like Archie and Mehitabel and the frogs and the toads and the ticks and the fleas, I mean, they're just wonderful full sort of representations. What I've tried to do with the play is there are 3 main characters, the boss, who is the newspaper columnist himself, Archie and Mehitabel, the 2 leads, and then we have what I call actor number 1 and actor number 2. They're our utility players, and they play all the other different insects. And what we've done is just give them a small piece. They have antenna, a pair of wings, and that transforms them into a mayfly. Or they have a pair of cat ears and a cape, and that transforms them into Old Tom the theater cat. It's really a work of imagination. We have really almost no set at all. It's just a series of cubes and little sort of benches. So the magic really happens in the viewers' minds, and hopefully we're able to create a magical evening that's really quite affecting to people.
How has the audience reacted to seeing cockroaches and ants and cats performed by human beings?
If we set the thing up right and the audience goes along with it from the very beginning, it's really quite remarkable to see. We're not able to really see the audience from the stage because the lights are in our eyes, but the laughter that comes rolling over the footlights is profound, large, and delightful. The audiences seem delighted with the entire concept. There's many, many, many laughs. There's a lot of warmth in this play. There's a lot of humanity in the play, even though we're dealing with insects and cats and frogs and toads. We've been very, very happy with the audience response.
Small theater has the ability to let our imaginations flow because we're so close to the performers and we don't have to have the fancy set designs and costuming. We can really get close to what's being presented. When you wrote the play, the words that are used, how much of them are from the poems?
I tried to retain as much of Marquis's material as possible. There was a musical produced in 1956 called Shinbone Alley, which was based on the characters. It was not a success. It ran for, I think, 45 performances before it closed. There was also an animated feature in 1972 that was put out called Shinbone Alley, which also featured the characters. But in both cases, they didn't use really Marquis's material, and it's brilliantly written material. It's funny, it's insightful. So I tried to retain as much of that as possible and just use my words to hopefully link these various vignettes together in some sort of way that makes sense. I think I've been successful in doing that. To me, the success of this play really has little to do with me and a lot to do with Don Marquis. He was a brilliant, brilliant writer.
You have brilliantly written the play, taking his work and animals, because insects are animals that normally get a bad rap. There's a common idea that when humans destroy this planet and humans become extinct, the cockroaches will take over. Did they feel that way 100 years ago?
It's amazing you should say that, Nancy. There is a piece that we close with on the environment, and there are words in that piece that could have been written yesterday. It's a pair of ants who talk about what man is doing to the planet. They say things like, it won't be long. It won't be long before man will have used it all up so that nothing but ants and centipedes and cockroaches can find a living on this planet. And they talk about climate change. They talk about stealing the rainfall from posterity. This is something that was written in the 20s, in the 1920s, and it's something we're still dealing with. It's both frightening, sad. I don't know what else to say about it. We haven't really made any progress here. We're still dealing with the exact same things. So Marquis was completely prescient when he talked about that sort of thing. And it's a very powerful piece at the end. We've lightened it up because I didn't want the audience going out, you know, feeling like, you know, the planet was going to die before they got to their car.
It's very, very difficult to present environmental issues in a positive, enjoyable way because it is so depressing.
Correct. Which is why the ants that deliver the bulk of that speech, they're ants. So occasionally they get off track because they happen to spy a slice of watermelon underneath a picnic table. So we've tried to lighten it up a little bit in that way. But it's astounding to me that Marquis way back then was writing about the very same things that we're concerned about today.
Some of the animals like frogs and toads are endangered. Cats, some big wild ones are endangered. Domestic cats seem to be okay. What about cockroaches? Do we have to worry about their being endangered? What kind of research did you do?
Nancy, when we're all gone, those cockroaches will still be around.
I'm a cat lover, and I'm glad you have the alley cat in there. Where did the name Mehitabel come in?
It's biblical, actually. It's a character from the Bible.
Cats have been revered by many different religions. To me, they're still king and queen of our homes.
They are. We had a cat recently, unfortunately passed away not too long ago, and we adored her. Her name was Small Cat because she was small, and my wife let me name her. She still rues the day she let me name the cat Small Cat. But you would call Small Cat, and Small Cat would just turn and look at you and walk away. That's cats. That's what cats are.
They definitely demand that we pay them attention. We're lucky if they pay us attention.
No, they keep us as pets.
Do people keep cockroaches, fleas, rats as pets?
Let's hope not.
I used to hear about the flea circuses.
Yeah, that's true. There were flea circuses. The characters, fleas and the ticks and the gnats and the spiders that populate this play are all very human in their characteristics. You would think that the main character, a cockroach, would be rather off-putting, but he's a very charming young cockroach. He has a lot to say about life and about the human condition, and I think if you come to see the show, you'll leave maybe having a little bit more respect for cockroaches, fleas, ticks, and their ilk.
Absolutely. That's what theater is all about, is to give us a different perspective. Your play has various people involved in it, actors, directors, musicians. Tell us about some of these individuals and how they feel about adapting this kind of story.
We have a wonderful cast. I've been an actor, as you said, for over 40 years in Los Angeles, so I know quite a few performers, and I picked the very best of them to be in this play. I've been playing Archie, because I wanted the best actor I could find, and that happened to be me.
You're great. You're great.
And I'm very modest, as you probably have noticed. Mehitabel is played by a wonderful actress, Carolyn Hennessy. Carolyn's been a friend of ours, and she's famous for being on character on General Hospital. She's done tons and tons of work. She's a wonderful actress. She's got huge range, and Mehitabel is, as the Alley Cat, is a very large character. I mean, she's theatrical, and everything about her is big, and Carolyn is just marvelous in the part. As the boss, we have Bill Cott, and Bill has been on many, many television shows. He's a very likable individual. He's sort of the storyteller. He sort of sets this whole thing up and tells about Archie and how he discovered him and how Archie hops on the keys of his typewriter. Archie can't really talk, so he hops on the keys of the boss's typewriter in order to send him messages, which the boss then interprets.
Only in lowercase, because he can't use the shift key on that old manual typewriter.
Correct, exactly. Back in those days, before computers and before touch typing and all of that, you had to push down on that shift key, and it was pretty hard. Archie's not capable of doing that. So, yes, all of the columns that Marquis wrote were in lowercase, with no punctuation whatsoever. So they're really fun to read because you have to kind of add the punctuation and the spacing yourself because there's nothing there to grab onto.
One of his books is still in print.
There were three books, Archie and Mehitabel. Then he followed it up with Archie's Life of Mehitabel, which centers around her. And then there was Archie Does His Part. A lot of this was written during World War I, believe it or not. And so Marquis had a lot to say about why we go to war and what a destructive thing it is for the human race to do and et cetera, et cetera.
Are you planning to adapt other animals, other stories about other life forces to the theater and create new plays about all the other flora and fauna that we need to pay attention to?
Yes, I'm going to create a play all about flowers. No, I don't think so.
They don't talk.
No, I'm not going to do anything with the flora. The fauna, I may.
They're colorful, though.
They are indeed. It's possible. Right now, I'm really involved with this play, and I have to say, I'm very, very proud of everyone. You should mention also that we have a wonderful musician, Dan West, who wrote incidental music and is also actually plays piano during the show. So the show has live music attached to it. It's not a musical, but there is music underneath some of the monologues that go on. It's quite a stunning evening of theater. I have to say, we're very, very proud of what we've been able to accomplish.
How does this work? Did you just round up all these different people because you thought they would be the best to play your characters in the play? Or is the Whitefire Theater a nonprofit organization that organizes different playwrights and puts on the plays?
As a matter of fact, the Actors Equity Association, which is the Stage Actors Union, will not allow a professional theater to put on a production without all sorts of different rules and regulations. They have to have insurance. There are different requisites that they have to fulfill. They have a clause in their contracts that says if it's a self-produced production by a member, you can get around all of that. So I'm producing it myself with my wife, so I was able to get around all of those different rules and regulations. I have hired the very, very best of the cream de la cream of actors in Los Angeles, of people that I've worked with. The cast is incredibly great. Also, I should mention our director, Lucy Dreyer. Lucy was a child actor for many years and has added so many touches to this production that I never would have thought. I wrote the script, but he's got some wonderful, wonderful little ideas about how to present these creatures. And as I said before, there's no real set. The only way that we have to create our magic is through our performance, the lighting and the sound cues, and the audience's imagination takes over after that.
You've done a wonderful job. I'm so pleased that you've written the play, The Secret World of Archie and Mehitabel. I suggest that everybody go out in September and October to see your performance at the Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks. I want to thank you so very much for being my guest.
Thank you, Nancy. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
I have been speaking with Dan Gilvezan. He is an actor, an author, and a playwright. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.